Well, for the last two Sundays, we have been dealing with subjects that are, quite honestly, not that flattering. Man's free choice, which goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, landed humanity in a great deal of mess that continues to this day. It leads to a lot of the problems because man simply chooses to go against God regularly. And you know that in your own personal life. And on top of that, we most of the time feel powerless or somewhat powerless to say no to our flesh or to restrain moral error in our life. And so it's almost as if we're like a car that's stranded by the roadway. We know there's a problem under the hood, but we don't know quite how to fix it. The last week of September, two major auto manufacturers issued recalls. More than 3 million Kias and Hyundais were recalled due to an overheating problem in the ABS module. If you're one of those owners, you've probably already received an alert from your dealer about it. So far, Hyundai reports 21 related vehicle fires. And Kia reports at least one engine compartment fire and several fires in that particular module that's been compromised. Both companies have warned not to park your car indoors or next to a structure for fear of this, that the engine might catch on fire. And they have urged owners to get their cars, next slide, urged the dealers to get their cars into the dealership as soon as possible. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. You don't really care about cars, especially if you're a lady, right? As long as it runs, that's all that matters. We ask a lady what kind of car it has. I think it was red. No. What kind of car was it? So I'm teaching my boys important things right now about makes and models of cars. And they're really getting good. In fact, they're getting better than me now. They can spot and tell me exactly what model, often just by looking at a headlight or a taillight, they can tell. They're getting good. But when God looks at all the makes and models of humanity, he has reached the conclusion that all of them have a flaw and that they all need to get into the dealership for repair to fix what is broken. We need to fix, the Bible would say, we need to fix what's under the hood. So just what kind of proposal, what kind of fix that does God want to work on humanity to fix where mankind has been flawed? So it involves an overhaul, if I can use this analogy, an overhaul of the human engine. What do we have to do? What module do we need to replace? What part do we need to put on? And that's what we want to talk about today. Let's look at our text. You can follow along in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 and following, or see it on the screen. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, you may have gotten lost in some of those words, but this really is an important text in the New Testament with regard to what God wants to do to fix humanity. The most important statement really is at the top end in verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." But it links with something else that keeps repeating itself in this section of verses. And that has the idea of be reconciled, which appears again at the bottom. So this idea of being in Christ and being reconciled to God are being linked together in this text. If you want to be reconciled to God, you have to be in Christ. If you're going to get fixed, what's under the hood, it has something to do with about getting Christ or getting into Christ. In fact, the word reconciled appears maybe you already picked this up, five times in this text. We have the word reconciliation, the word reconciling, again, the word of reconciliation, be ye reconciled. Multiple times in the passage, we're being told to be reconciled to God. So what's the fix for the human automobile under the hood? And the fix is you must be reconciled to God. That's the Christian worldview. Our worldview is people are not born basically good and corrupted by the environment. People are born basically corrupted, and they need a correction in the hardware. They need to be reconciled to God. So the problems we see in society stem from a problem under the hood of every person. And until we get to those internal components and fix the human being, he will set fires. Keep the analogy going. He will set fires everywhere he goes. Wherever you park your car at night, whatever room you are in, whatever person you're living with, until what's fixed under the hood, you're going to create fires. And it might come out in anger or bitterness or lying or cheat or theft. But we set fires wherever we go because of what's broken under the hood. So what does being reconciled to God involve? That's what we want to talk about today. Are you ready? Let's find out what it means to be reconciled to God and fix humanity where he or she is broken. Two steps to being reconciled to God in this text. Two steps, here they are. Only way to fix what's broken with humanity. Number one, man must become a new creature. Man must become a new creature. You got that, right? You already saw that in the text. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Some translations have new creation. It doesn't matter, for the sake of the message, if you have a creature, you must also have a creator. That really is the hint. There's a link right back to the beginning where we started this whole series with our Christian worldview. We started with God is my creator. But we need that creator again, not just to physically bring us into the world, but to physically or spiritually transform our being. And the creator must do it. I don't really have a point in my message for this. Just a thought, a seed to chew on. God initiates creation. And God initiates spiritual rebirth. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. God does it. You go back to the car analogy, the dealership needs to do the work to fix the car. We don't fix ourselves. Sorry, gearheads, you can't do it in your own garage. God is the initiator of the transformation. So the manufacturer issues a recall. God has issued a recall. Yes, he created you, but something went wrong. Man has a flaw. I have to get you back into the dealership to change what's wrong. Otherwise, you're going to keep overheating your human engine. You sticking with the analogy? Am I running it too far with you? Don't want to overheat my human engine. I need to get it back to the dealer. I need to get it back to the creator who knows just how to fix it. Now, how does he fix it? What's involved here? Well, later in the text, actually the last verse says in verse 21, for he hath made him, he tells us how he's going to do the fix. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, don't get confused by the verse. I'm going to break it down and make it really pretty simple. I'm going to start this way. I want you to see the last two words in the verse. They're really short little words. They are in him. And they connect to a phrase we've already seen back in verse 17, which is in Christ. So if I'm going to fix what's broken with the human engine, I have to be in Christ, which is connected to being reconciled. And now he comes back to that same theme in the end of the chapter. And he says, in him, I am made right. I have received the righteousness of God. I have to be in him. There's some connection with being in Christ, being in him. And that leads me to letter A of our outline, made right with God. If I'm going to get fixed, I've got to get into Christ. That's what he's saying. We are made right, the righteousness, or made right with God in Christ. Made right with God. Now, this is important. Because we don't, we don't fix ourselves. We don't get in our own garage and clean up our act and clean up our language and determine to do better. No, please get this, right? You understand this, don't you? That God must do the work. We have to get into Christ. I was thinking of an example to suggest this idea. I like analogies. You probably know that by now because I'm always sharing an analogy. It's kind of like this, all right? So I'm going to talk about toxic waste and hazardous chemicals, right? That's become part of the world in which we live. We have toxic waste and hazardous chemicals. And we've got to contain them and we've got to store them and somebody's got to handle them. And that somebody has got to be suited up the right way so the contamination doesn't get to them. And the Bible is teaching us that we have to get suited up into Christ in order to avoid the contamination of sin, which could really precipitate our own death. And it is. Listen, as the result of sin, the wages of sin is death. We're all dying because of sin. And we will all die spiritually forever without Christ unless we suit up and get into Christ. Well, how do you do that? That sounds complicated. I want you to notice what the text says. You're made right with God by this. He handled the sin so we don't have to. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Christ took a sin and he handled it so we didn't have to. He's the only person ever lived who never sinned. And he decided to handle it in our place. God the Father made his own son take our sin on the cross in our place. And God's remedy for broken humanity is getting into or getting behind Christ who handles sin in our place. For this to happen, you must exercise something called faith. Let's go to the next slide. Made right with God, Philippians 3:9. And be found, what are the words here, key words, I've got to be in him. And if I'm found in him, I don't have my own righteousness. It's not something I fixed or I did on my own, but that which comes through the faith of Christ. I have to believe that God sent Jesus into the world to die in my place to pay for my lying, my cheating, my stealing, my whatever's on your list. And he paid all those sins and he handled them. And if I'll believe that by faith, God says, I'll forgive you all your sins and the toxic effects of them. Really amazing. But you know what? Most of us live in this world. We watch the news. Some of us are in school. We have to listen to lectures or read textbooks. We have conversations in the workplace with our coworkers and friends, and they're always telling us about what the greatest problems are in the world, whether it's the school, your coworker, the news media. And they're always going to tell us things like this. The biggest problems in the world are outside of ourselves. It's Joe Biden. And if we could just get rid of him, everything would be perfect again. I'm not taking political sides. I just want you to see the way we think in the world. Our worldview is our biggest problem is X, or it's X, Elon Musk, or it's it's rogue states like Iran and North Korea who are building bombs and intercontinental ballistic missiles. This is a big deal. Our biggest problems are the hackers in Russia who are trying to take over our oil refineries and hold us hostage or take over our meat packing plants so we can't get food. It's the Russian hackers. If we could just get rid of those hackers, then we'd be fixed. Worldview, I'm talking about worldview. What are our biggest problems today outside of us? It's a politician somewhere. It's somebody who's fixing the prices on the meds. We heard that recently, didn't we? Those big pharmaceutical, greedy corporate people. You know, we need to lower prices and we're putting our foot down and the government's going to make us, we're going to decide to pay, you know, All right, so the biggest problems are the pharmaceuticals. It's not us, it's them. Are you getting it? I'm talking about worldview. And we're inundated all the time, every day. The problem is outside of ourselves. The problem is not me, it's my spouse. If she would just... Now we're getting personal, right? Or if he would just stop, then my life would be happy and I would be sad. And the problem is outside of me. Do you see it? Do you see how far this goes? This is worldview. We're talking about the way we view the world. And the way we view the world, it's all those other people. If they just stop, then I could be happy. It's always somebody else. Instead, when you read the scripture, why it's so different from every other book is it just keeps telling you the biggest problem is where? It's right inside of me. And that's why I have to become a new creature or I will never be happy in life. And it doesn't matter who's the president or whether we can shut down the Russian hackers or we can get drug prices lower or whatever the issue is. Until I'm rightly related to God, I will never reach equilibrium and peace and happiness. This is the Bible way. I must be made right with God. And how do I have to get into Christ. Are you in? Have you suited up with Christ to protect you against the toxic effect of sin, which is literally, slowly killing all of us right now? That's the big deal. Well, that's one part of what God wants to do with this new creature thing, right? Number one, got to fix what's under the hood. I got to become a new creature. I got to be made right with God. Number two, you wanted a bonus, right? Here's the bonus section, right? To be made holy like God. That's implied in this verse. Do I have it on the screen again? 1 Corinthians? Nope, let's get rid of that for a second. 1 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God wants to make a new man. Let's not leave the women out. And a new woman out of every one of us. Transform us from the inside out to make us holy people. Peter says the same thing. He wants us to be made holy just like he is. But he which hath called you is holy. That's God. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation there happens to mean conduct, not words coming out, but your whole lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We need to be made holy like God. And the more holy I become, the more like God I am, the less problem I have with people around me. The less likely I'm going to get into feud and have trouble with other people. Yesterday, on Israel's Sabbath, Hamas launched a surprise attack on Israel. You probably have seen it. Hundreds of rockets fired by Hamas, and then raiders came across the border, shooting mercilessly various targets and various people. And at least the report that I read even carted some of IDF soldiers and civilians back across the border. It's a very distressing thing. Every time I hear about this kind of stuff, rockets flying back and forth, I just wonder, can't anybody fix the problem? I mean, in my recent memory, I mean, every president has tried to do something to fix the Middle East peace problem, right? And you guys have been around more longer than I have, all right? And it ain't fixed yet. And you know why? Because we're really not getting to the root of the problem. They will never get these things ironed out until these people both receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and that's who enables us to live at peace and harmony with our enemies, to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's the gospel that turns enemies into friends. And until people are transformed on the inside, they will never behave rightly on the outside. That was an important statement. Until people are changed on the inside, they'll never behave rightly on the outside. Not consistently. Yeah, I can buck up and I can keep a rule. I can do the right thing for a day or maybe for a week or for a few years. But if I really want lasting change, it's got to be a change on the inside. Paul said the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. Again, the word conversation in the King James Bible doesn't mean your words. It means your conduct, your manner of living. Put off the former conduct of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. Key thing, this goes along with new creature. God wants to make us a new man on the inside, which is created, notice the word creation, I'll come back to it in a moment, in righteousness and true holiness. If I'm going to get along with other people, then I need to be made new on the inside. Now, notice that word created. Again, it reminds us of our context, right? New creature. God must do a work to recreate us on the inside. Men and women will never get along, never establish good government, never fix all our other problems until men and women get inside Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath. I'm going to give you a story here in just a minute. Hang all this teaching onto something. Some of you might be sitting here and thinking, you know, you religious people, you get up, you preachers, you pastors, you get up and you give all these diatribes every Sunday with all this hope. But you look out there in humanity, the world's a mess. Church ain't doing much to fix snot. Okay, let's just entertain that for a bit. It may seem to you that what I'm putting out here to you is just kind of like a pipe dream. You know, you church religious people promising far more than you can deliver. But I disagree with you. And I hope all of you do too. And that you would be the first in line right after me, maybe second in line, to say, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I remember what I used to be. I remember how God changed me. Nobody gave me, my parents didn't think I would turn out the way I am. They never thought I'd make it. They never thought we'd stay married. They never, you know what I'm saying? But I met Jesus Christ, and he did something for me. He transformed me on the inside. And I'll tell you, I may not be a great person today, but I ain't the same person I used to be. I have been transformed, and that's my testimony. I didn't grow up in corruption in a dark alley shooting heroin or something like that, and I thank the Lord that didn't happen for me. But I know enough about myself that I'm not the same person I used to be. Because of Jesus Christ, I've become a new creature and things started falling away. You know that colorful language that I use to modify a point? That's gone away. The shading of the truth just to make myself look good, that's fallen away. Doing things behind my parents' back because they were not going to know anyway. That's fallen away. Holding grudges against those who've done me wrong. By God's grace, that's fallen away. Because old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm still not perfect, but my wanter has changed. I've become a new creature. That's the power of the gospel. It transforms people from the inside out. That's my story, but I'm going to give you another story. There's this actor, and his name is Kirk Cameron. In the 80s, they had 7 or 8 seasons of Growing Pains. And then he started when he was 14 as a teenage actor, and while he was a teenager shooting this show, he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, and his life was transformed. All right. Are we modestly familiar with this name? This doesn't mean, okay, we know who we're talking about. Okay, great. He had all the money he wanted to spend. He was traveling around the world meeting famous people. He, in fact, was a famous person. He had everything he wanted. This is his testimony. But he met a man who happened to be a girl's father. The girl's father, the father's daughter was a girl he was really interested in. So he was hanging out with the girl and having conversations with dad, who was interested in his daughter. And they got to talking, and this man said to Kirk, there's something that you still don't have, though, Kirk. You have a lot, but you don't have the Lord. Now, this is his testimony. You can read it online. He's thinking in his mind, okay, what's your point? I don't believe in God, and that's not something I'm really interested in. But he said, then I thought, well, I better not turn down his invitation to go to church. After all, he's the dad of the girl I like. So he went to church. Incidentally, can I throw this in? Because somebody invited him to go to church. He went because somebody invited him to go to church. Mark that down somewhere. All right. So he went to church. He heard the gospel for the first time, and he found it very intriguing. And it got him to thinking and asking some more questions. And a short time later, he was driving. The testimony doesn't really say when, but a short time later, he's driving. He pulls off to the side of the road. He can't believe he's even doing this. He's starting to kind of put his thoughts together and starting to talk to God. And he said, I prayed the most clumsy prayer ever. That's his words. He prayed a prayer. And he asked God, God, forgive me and make me into the person you want me to be. And you know what? Things started to change. In his own words, you know, all the F-bombs, these are his words, stopped, and the parts that I would accept in Hollywood changed. The things that I was willing and not willing to do on Growing Pains changed. One of those involved refusing to do a scene, inappropriate scenes, with my stage girlfriend. That made the writers rewrite that scene and everybody learned new lines. It was very easy for the tabloids to grab onto that and say, well, what's the best we can do to spin this story about Kirk Cameron? And this is how it came out. Kirk Cameron goes off the religious deep end. When in actuality, Kurt's words, it was nothing more than a 17-year-old kid finding something that was worth more than all the celebrity in the world and wanting his life to be a living thank you to the God who saved him. Being a Christian changed Kirk. No one was telling him, whispering. He wasn't calling up his pastor, what should I do? I don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit was transforming him from the inside out. And Kirk started wanting what God wanted, thinking like God thought, and it changed his life. And it changed his career direction because he couldn't last long in Hollywood keeping his integrity. This is the impact of the gospel. It changed him, and it should change everyone in this room. That's the only remedy we have. In fact, this is the remedy the world needs. Humanity will not be fixed until humanity is reconciled to God. Well, I told you there are two parts to this message. I think the first part was pretty important. But so is the second part. Number two, new commission. New commission, that takes us back to our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're moving on from verse 17 that says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Next verse, 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled to us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now, this has happened. We've been reconciled to God through Jesus, who took our place on the cross and rose again the third day. So now that we're reconciled because we're into Christ, what should be true of us? He hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to think that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Do you get the comparison in verse number 19? God was in Christ reconciling the whole world to himself. The comparison is now he's committed unto us the same ministry of reconciliation. God is in you as a believer to promote and provide and to publish reconciliation for the whole world. So we are made new creatures and set up with a new commission. If I'm a Christian, if I've been transformed, if I am in Christ, then I have a job to do. My main job is not what I do 9 to 5 or 10 to 2 or whatever your schedule is. My main job is to live for Christ and let Christ be known wherever I go. My commission as a believer is to be involved like Christ in the ministry of reconciliation. He gives us two things in this verse. You can see them. Verse 18, the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 ends, the word of reconciliation. Reconciliation just means helping people to be reconciled to God. One mentions the ministry, the other mentions the word. And I don't think there's really that big of a difference between the two. The ministry, or Paul's job and the apostles' job, was to help the world be reconciled to God. And that involved a word. They had to preach Christ to people so that they would be reconciled. So the ministry involves a message that we deliver to the world. Now all the apostles are gone. Paul, James, John, Matthew, etc., Bartholomew. And it falls to us. The torch has been passed. We have a responsibility to carry the torch and be light bearers in a dark world. That's our job in the 21st century. Back to worldview. Most people around us will go on thinking the biggest problems in the world are what? They're out there somewhere. It's the price of oil. If we could just do something about oil so it didn't cost me $75 every time to fill up. All right? If I could just, you know, not be worried about drinking contaminated water in Detroit or high taxes, or if someone would just fix the border crisis, for crying out loud. I'm not minimizing any. Those are serious issues that need to be addressed, and they should be. But that's not the main issue. The main issue is that people are not reconciled to God, and God has commissioned me to do that ministry, to reconcile people to God. People around us are not right with God. They're not ready for another world, and they are not holy people. And it's our job to tell them. And that's what he says in the next verse, verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Like you, I want to make a difference in the world. I don't know about you, but I didn't plop down on planet just to pay taxes, you know, and live in Marana. I want to make a difference in the world. I don't want to just be a statistic. I want to make a difference. Did you get that? I want to make a difference. How do you make a difference? Well, I could sign up to be a soldier, but I don't think they'd take me anymore. I'm not what I used to be. Hey, and if I were a soldier, that would be good. I would be serving my country, and there's everything noble and right about that. I don't have a problem with that. I could run for Congress. I'm getting old enough to do that. I could run for Congress, see, and I could go to Washington and make a real change. Maybe not. But certainly nothing wrong with running for Congress. Worldview. What am I going to do to make a difference in my world? We got to be a soldier, be a congressman or congresswoman. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll work for the Peace Corps. I'll be on an international mission of peace. We'll help poor and backward countries. We'll help bring, you know, running water, and so they can have uncontaminated water to drink. We'll make a difference because I'll internationally be involved in solving the problems in the world. Nothing wrong with being involved in the Peace Corps. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. But if I have a Christian worldview, if I see the world as God sees it, I understand that what we need are not more soldiers or politicians, but more preachers. Will no one answer the call Will no one in this church understand? This is how I'm going to affect my world. This is how I can do the most good. My Christian worldview says this is what the world needs. The world needs Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do something. You know what? And I'm going to come to grow, and I can at least put a letter in the mail for crying out loud. I'm going to make a difference for you. You know what? I may not be good at it, but I can pick up the telephone, and I can call somebody and invite them to church. But I don't know who the person is on the other end. No, neither do I, but God knows them. Amen. And they need Jesus. Right. Now, who among us is going to do something? Where are the people saying, you know what, Pastor? We've lived a Christian life. We've served in the church, but it's not enough. There's still a lot of unsaved people out there. And you know what? There are people all over Europe right now because of the Ukrainian refugee crisis. Pastor, do you think maybe I could go? Do you think that maybe I could learn Ukrainian and I could go? Or how about one of those countries in Africa? Do you think maybe I could go? Or maybe I could just start a ministry right here in Tucson and go into the streets and meet some of the people that society has given up on. Or maybe I could volunteer at the gospel. I'm going to do something. Make a difference in my world. Because time is running out and people need Jesus. And listen, we could throw more money at them. We could put more services in place, and I'm not opposed to helping people out who are in poverty or who are drug addicted and they need service. I get that. But if I really want to help my world, if I really want to make a difference, I'm going to do it by giving the gospel to somebody. So when's the last time you shared Jesus with anybody? When did he ever come up in conversation with you? Do you really have a Christian worldview, or are you just sailing through? The sweet by and by is right. The sweet by and by is not right now. The sweet by and by is over there. And I have a job to do. My commission, I'm an ambassador for Christ. As though God did beseech them through us. Be ye reconciled to God. During the last week of September, dignitaries from around the world converged on the United Nations. In New York, maybe you saw some of that coverage. They were discussing what they determined were the biggest issues facing the international community. Things like war in Ukraine, COVID-19, cartels in Haiti, and of course, climate change. They meant well. I think they really want to make a difference in the world, and some of them even ponied up to the table and offered billions of dollars in donations or, what do you call it, subsidies. But we know something they don't. It's not more money, more speeches, more policies the world needs. The people need God. And until they're reconciled with him, they will never live at peace with each other. So what our world needs are people like Tim and Claire Peterson and James and Susie Ewan, John and Lita Stover, and a number of other real ambassadors who are carrying the message of Christ from here around the world in introducing people to how they can have peace with God, reconciled first with him, and then how they can live at peace with people around them. And these aren't the only ambassadors, because the Bible teaches we are all ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech the world through us, be ye reconciled to God. So are you being part of the remedy? Man's remedy? Reconciled to God. I am an ambassador for that purpose. If we really believe Jesus, if we really had a Christian view, it changes how we live today. God hasn't given up on the planet, neither should we. But we need to do more than just talk about making a difference in here. We need to go out, every single one of us, and make a difference out there. The best answer for the world's problems is Jesus, which fits with our mission statement. Continental Baptist Church exists to make a big deal about Jesus through his worship, through his word, and through our witness to the world. I want to finish with this story. Randy and his wife Cindy are missionaries in Brazil. And this is their story. Modane had been an alcoholic for 20 years. However, one day, Randy had presented the gospel to both Modane and his wife, and they had prayed to receive Jesus. Then one day, sometime later, Modane's wife called Randy on the phone very shaken. "My husband just beat me, and I think he broke my jaw." She cried and then went on. "Modane threatened to kill you, and he's coming to the church right now to at least disrupt the service." Later in the evening at that church service, Modane showed up and he called out to Pastor Randy from the back, "Pastor Randy, I'm going to kill you." And with that, some big men in the church gathered up Modane and hauled him out of the church. Hope we have some big men that do that for me. Please assure me of that later. Sometime later, Modane returned to Pastor Randy as a broken man. A good deal of time had passed. And he came to Pastor Randy and he said, "I've lost my job, my wife, and my health. Can you help me?" And over time, God began to transform his life, and Modane truly received Christ as his Savior. And then, when they were preparing for his baptism, Modane told Randy with a little bit of a twinkle in his eye, "Pastor Randy, I know I've been a lot of trouble. When you get me down under the water, please don't keep me down there." Modane is like so many in the world, in trouble, and he really doesn't know how to get out. The answer is Christ. They must be reconciled to God.